You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's get going. 7:07 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. If you miss anything, KVOI.com. Remember, we are less than 2 weeks to Ed Alexander's delayed retirement party out in Marana, out at beautiful Stardance. Our buddy Deb Fern built that thing years ago as part of the Lazy K Ranch. And our good friend friends Kelly and Ron Abbott own it and run it.
Cool.
So we're going to be out there on May 26th. It's a 5:30 start. We have a live music, food from Wendy at Chef Chic.
Love her food.
So
great food.
You got to go to azchefchic.square.site, or you can call Wendy at 406-2757 during the day, and she will book your tickets.
So, awesome.
Please join us. So, as a special gift to David Schweikert, I brought Joe Higgins back, his favorite prodigal son radio show host. David, good morning.
Yeah, don't know if he's my favorite.
Good morning, David. Good morning. Good morning.
So spicy.
Are you in D.C. or Phoenix today?
Oh, no, I'm in D.C., and there's something blooming here that I am just... You know, if I suck down much more Claritin and Benadryl, I'm going to, you know. But, hey, I can be like the rest of the zombies here in Capitol Hill.
So we had a little report about inflation in the last 24 hours. Give us a little breakdown.
We don't have enough time. There's no question that core inflation, commodity inflation, you know, a lot of the other things are spiking beyond what we thought. And there's a war between even my own economists. You know, I'm blessed to have, you know, three freaky economists that work for me in the Joint Economic Committee. And is it transitory, meaning, hey, this is only for 3 months, sort of like the Fed says, you know, as the supply chains are all broken right now and they get themselves back going again? Or is this the new baseline? The problem is, even if it's the just transitory, this is really going to hurt people's true purchasing power just this year.
No kidding.
Because if you sort of think about the world, let's say you're in retirement, you're getting, you know, 8% on your retirement savings, and, you know, your basic goods just went up 6%. You know, you just fell a few percent behind in a single year.
Sure.
Those are big, big, big hits.
So Congressman Schweikert, let me ask you this question, because Chris and I were debating this before the show started, and maybe you'd have some ideas. So after 2008, the Federal Reserve and the bank system, everybody just pumped all this capital into the system. But then you had Operation Twist and Operation QE, which basically didn't let that money supply hit Main Street. So we kept waiting for this inflation, the monetary theory, where it's going to keep circulating and do compound and grow. It never happened for 12 years. Why now?
Because it's two very, very different models. In this case, the federal government has been pumping out checks and putting those checks in individuals' hands.
Gotcha.
So what happens when, you know, you wake up and you just had a few thousand dollars hit your household because there's you and your kids and you all got $1,400 or whatever it is, and you decide you're going to, you know, now you want your 90-inch television?
So that would be the argument for transitory then, right? Where it's just a blip because the money hit the market, hits Main Street.
Well, no, but where it gets messed up is if that starts to become the new expectation. So where we're also seeing something that...
By who? By like a continued roll of checks coming our way?
No, it's expectation of labor. I want to be paid this.
Oh, gotcha.
Partially because, you know, the government's willing to pay me, I'm willing to be paid this. Are you willing to wait till September for the enhanced unemployment checks?
Which is why you have 10 or a few states that are stepping away from the federal $300 a week minimum, right? And Florida's changing, right?
And we're already starting to see those states actually have better labor attachment.
Right.
My actually personal biggest fear is we're about to kick a bunch of the working class and the poor working class in the head, and no one seems to be paying attention to this. open borders crushes the working poor,
yeah.
because when you're working poor, you sell your labor, and now all of a sudden there's a lot of new labor in the national economy with similar skill sets. Inflation crushes those folks who spend more of your wages buying food, paying yep. for your electricity, you know, the basic commodities of life.
Right.
And three, for those families, for those people who are just trying to build a life, hey, we want to be able to buy a house instead of being a renter. We want to be able to buy a used yeah. car. You know, the things that you slowly, that are sort of the little tiny benchmarks as you build yourself into the American dream, we're making those all harder, but they're particularly harder for that working middle class and poor working class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what we're engaging in right now is sort of a false economy, because we're going to send you, the federal government's sending you checks, so it's going to look like poverty rates and those things shrunk in 2021, except come September, it all falls off a cliff.
Right.
And overnight, the sort of fake floor that look how wonderful we've done now has just fallen out.
Right.
That it's that cliff that starts to make me really nervous here.
Well, it didn't work out well for Marie Antoinette. So you have this very similar.
Well,
if you don't feel like you can move up as a lower and middle class family, whether it be the cost of the things you just mentioned, housing and cars and sending your kid to college, the natives get it restless, and that's not good.
Well, so what happens if you start to hit an inflationary cycle and monetization cycle, you know, all these other things, and then suddenly, you know, you were trying to push a Keynesian, hey, we're going to pump consumers and
right.
they're going to run around and want to buy something, and then suddenly they stop buying.
Right.
And it's the classic economic problem, and I can't figure out why the left despises a supply side cycle, which says we're going to become more productive. We're going to make prices lower because we're being, you know, more efficient. And because we're doing it on the production side, we hire more people, because that becomes substantially an inflation-less sustained growth model.
Right.
And but politicians don't get a lot of credit because you're not handing out checks.
All right. So you just gave me kind of a good transition tease for our next segment together is, what's the big picture of this? Right, if the Democrats don't want to do supply side, they're doing, what's the big picture end purpose of this? And Joe and I were talking about this also before the show started, so we'd like to get your opinion on it, Dave. So can you hold on, have a couple more coffees?
We're going to do modern monetary theory with Dave Schweiker.
This is what he wants to talk. He doesn't want to talk about other crap.
Gracious.
He likes
shock.
We're wonking out with Schweikes.
Yes, you know how many listeners you just lost.
It's going to be our new podcast we're going to do together. It's called Wonking Out with Schweikes. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be great. So, David, hold on, please. All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. We're doing covers today. It's also Richie Valens' birthday. So, happy birthday to Richie Valens. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Joe Higgins is back, Christy Simone, and back for a special appearance, U.S. Congressman David Schweiker. David, welcome back, sir.
Is it really that special?
It is. That's why I come in on Thursdays, David.
I'm just trying to be nice here. Why is everyone going to ask me these questions? So Joe and I were having this discussion before the show. We just had it again. This first 100-plus days of what and the chaos that's going on in America, economically and otherwise, what is the goal of the Democrat Party right now between the first 140 days through the next election? What do you believe is the big picture? Where are they going with all this?
Look, I sincerely believe much of what you see right now is a couple things. One, paying back their political supporters. You know, whether you be a union group, whether you be a green energy investor that wrote massive checks to super PACs for Democrats. And I can almost, I think you can sort of prove it. Take a look at the infrastructure bill. Look at some of the other spending bills that were claimed to be COVID, but the money wasn't actually going to anything. It was COVID. It was money that ultimately went to the pocketbook of Democrat, not only constituencies, but Democrat financers.
Well, let me give you just a headline here. This was from New York Post yesterday. Biden administration releases $12.7 billion to New York State and $4 billion to New York City. Those are major contributors to the election of Joe Biden.
Yeah, they're paying back their the left is much, you know, when we say money, power, vanity, but it's mostly about the money. It's always amusing. Leftists, we need people, we need this, and the leftists are the very first ones at the trough moving the cash around to finance their next election cycle. And that becomes the second half. Is they, the left knows the next election is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
So there's a split going on. Let's push every crazy ass thing through we can right now, with a chance that we're going to get it through because we're going to lose the House this coming cycle.
Yeah, but let me diverge you there real quick. Britain just had an election and Labor took a real beating, which is usually a good indicating of what's coming in 2022, correct?
Yeah. Well, Labor may be substantially dead for a while in Britain because they did functionally what the U.S. Democrat Party's done. Their fringe took over. They're anti-Zionist, anti-capitalist, the fringe in Great Britain took over. Sounds very familiar to the Democrats here.
Yep.
And a lot of the loudest Democrats you have in southern Arizona. It's the fringe now dominates your county party.
Yep.
And at some point, even old school Democrats shake their head and say, this is no longer my, I may not be a Republican, but these folks have just lost their minds.
That's your Joe Manchin types, yep.
So when we see...
No. I actually think it's the class, Joe Manchin is something different. And there used to be this thing, sort of the blue dog Democrats that were Democrats, but they hadn't lost their minds.
Yep.
These are the fringy extremists that, we used to like to make fun of in conservative media, the AOCs and this and that. What happens when they are no longer five really loud, hard lefties, but now that is the benchmark of where the base of the Democrat Party is, because those are the people who carry the petitions, they put up the signs, they write the checks.
Well, you
still have to hobble together.
They've said it after this last election, right? He said even though the House is closer, the Democrats that are in the House are much more hard left than the ones that were there before.
Right.
And we're seeing that more than ever.
And a good example is if you were a moderate Democrat, the Democrats themselves are going to come take you out.
Right.
In a Democrat primary. So, and a lot of that is look where the money is. So if you're a business person and you're writing checks to the left, to the Democrat Party, it's a number of Republicans are starting to say, why should we always be the ones that have to come and bail you out from crazy? You financed, the ammunition for your own execution. Why do you want us? And so that becomes one of the really interesting things going on here of the Republican Party is looking much more like the hardworking middle class, the party that actually gives a darn about the working poor, the entrepreneurs. If you're an entrepreneur, you more likely are a Republican. And that's also why you see much of the Democrat policy right now pretty violent towards, the guy that owns a truck, the small business, even the medium-sized business.
Yep.
The Democrat Party, if you look at the policies, seem to have embraced either big business, big international business, universities type.
So we see it in Tucson, right? So they hate the cops so much. They've been defunding the cops for years here, right? And it's getting really violent in the streets of Tucson. There's like three or four murders now every week now. And the people who are getting hurt the most are the working poor in the city of Tucson, right?
So watch what's happening. We actually, you can see it in our numbers in Arizona. Even for myself, precincts I had, voting precincts that had much higher blue-collar working folks, higher Hispanic populations, Republicans, myself, did much better than we've ever done before. But the, not the super high-end, but the college-educated, particularly
the white suburban women, right? They lost Trump.
With lots of apartments. So So, you know, the high-end apartments, which actually sometimes dominate the female, you could actually see they went much more left, you know, because they were unhappy with having their feelings assaulted by the previous president. And so does that realignment continue? And I think it does. And the classic way to look at that is who's financing who.
So quick question before we run out of time. So we have this thing with the unemployment benefits plus the $1,400 per person, and you're seeing people can't hire human beings. And so, of course, I think there's Democrats out there who are like, oh, this is great because now we can push this $15 an hour because these companies are going to have to pay it anyway to attract talent because they're competing with us on the money side. Is that a side effect or is that the plan to begin with?
I think it's the occasion where it happens, so you take credit for it. Because if you take a look at what was already happening in Arizona before the pandemic, wages, even for entry level, had already moved fairly substantially beyond the minimum wage. And that's because there was such a demand for labor, even though workforce participation was up so much. What we're seeing right now is an incentive for many not to enter the labor pool. So workforce participation is flatlined, but labor costs are going up. And that's when you actually have a real misalignment. So why would you stay home when wages are going up? It means government is paying you to stay there.
Hmm. David Schweikert, thanks for wonking out with us this last half hour.
I'm sure it'll work out fine, Congressman.
Yeah. look, I'm pathologically optimistic. I'm hopeful. I believe in our country. I think good things are going to happen. But we're seeing a lot of really stupid economics right now.
Yep.
All right, yep. Dave, say hi to the family. Later,
thank
buddy.
You, sir.
Thanks. Goodbye now.
When we come back, I want to cover, Joe and I have been interacting in the last few months. I just had one yesterday with schools via Zoom. And what we experienced there...
We both have been teaching courses. High school, and you did a...
I'm a junior high yesterday, and it really hit me how far behind everyone's going to be.
Yep.
And it's really, it's scary. So we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. And Pima County redefining science. It's the best. Wake up, Tucson. Man, that's a great cover. What band is that? I never heard of them before. 790-2040 is the phone number. Joe Higgins, Christy Simone. It's a covers kind of Thursday. Tomorrow, Sean McCluskey, our baby boy, is getting married.
Congrats, Sean.
So he's getting married on Saturday, but we're going to do his bachelor party tomorrow.
Excellent.
So it's going to be a hoot and a holler, as we like to say. So, Joe, yesterday I got to do career day for a middle school, local public middle school. And you got to teach, six classes at...
High school. Yep.
At a local high school.
Yeah, on marketing and investment and finance.
And what really hit me, I had, 20, 23 kids. And all I saw except for one young lady was their name.
Yeah.
No camera on,
yep.
Whatever. And it really sucked.
Yep, it did. And mine was multiple classes, multiple times, so I had multiple kids. The teacher was really on it, like, okay, I need cameras on. Everybody, let's, I saw a lot of ceiling fans.
Right.
Everybody, get the cameras on you, pay attention. So I saw more faces. But, you know, are they on their phone beneath the camera? Are they paying really attention? It's super, super hard to read the crowd and to see if you're making an impact on any whatever subject you're doing. It felt like I was just dumping information out there.
If there's anyone selling the case that somehow a majority of the kids that have been going through this online crap is doing fine, they are lying to your face.
It's tough.
It's a joke.
Especially the lower grades. I was doing a high school. Can you imagine doing a third grade or second grade? Which I've seen our teachers doing it, where you'll have 10 or 15 kids on the board, on the screen, 10 or 15 in the classroom with masks. Very complicated to manage that and to keep attention. And the good ones, you can see, okay, everybody pay attention, you know, clap your hands, or very, very difficult.
And how do you get them, right? It's kind of like the idea of, like, you're seeing part of the facial.
Right.
Looking at what their facial expressions are, that's when you figure out, are we getting it,
yes.
Not getting it,
yes.
Are we enjoying this, what's going on?
Yeah, we call it check for understanding in this world, yeah. And you just don't know. because the teacher doesn't have inflection because they have the mask on. The student has the mask on, so you don't get inflection. Over a video or a Zoom, it's even worse because it's hard to get any read. Are they paying attention?
Right. I mean, it was...
And how much learning really happens in the hallway or in the recess room or in the lunchroom or in that Socratic debate that happens inside the classroom? Those are all important parts of character development and of
sure.
learning in general.
And just, you know, building your social skills and
yep.
these kind of things.
Yep.
And again, all the decisions of anyone that's ever made to lock down schools, keep kids remote... And actually, some of you parents who are such, you're so driven by fear that your kids that would have never gotten hurt by the numbers on kids being hurt by the coronavirus are so minuscule. All right, I think Beatrice has said that they have a way better chance of getting killed in a car accident, like by a lot, than mm-hmm. the coronavirus.
Here's a question for you, because that's one aspect that's affected. Workplace, service industry, travel, on.
Right.
Will we do an accurate postmortem on
no.
this? Will we look at the data and the stats,
right.
the facts?
I've asked this question of Mike Beatrice and folks like that.
Right.
And the problem is that there's going to be that portion of the population in the leadership class that's never going to admit they messed up.
Mm.
And that's why,
what a shame.
That's why we're going to be way worse off. We're going to be, whenever the next pandemic comes,
yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah,
we're going to be way worse than we ever did. There's a boy that cried wolf
right.
dynamic here.
Right.
That 60% of America, when the CDC says something, is like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yep. Right. In fact, when Sanjay Gupta, we both talked about this in the first segment,
yep.
CNN doctor extraordinaire that's on there all the time talking about the medical field, when he starts backpedaling and going back from CDC, like the science isn't telling us certain things,
yep.
wear a mask, don't wear a mask, inside, outside, can't go to camp, can't go in the park without, you know, all that stuff, there needs to be a postmortem. Of what worked. What, you know, we went after hydrochloroquine, went after ivermectin early. Now, those are standards of care, ivermectin in particular. All these things are going to be, it need to be analyzed to say, did we do it right or wrong? And okay, so I have three reasons why we saw COVID as big as it is. Number one, it was a bad bug and it hurt people and it killed people and it was not good. Number two, the media just ran with fear, 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 fear. We just saw the tickle of it with swine flu, bird flu, and Ebola in 2014 when Obama was running. Remember, Ebola became part of that yeah. election cycle. That's the media just running with a narrative and fear, fear, fear. The third is orange man bad. We have to take down the economy and at all stakes.
Yeah.
We need something to derail the economy because if the economy's still going, orange man wins again.
Right.
On those three things. Where would you put blame? What percentage would you give each one? A third, a third, a third? I've asked this many friends, and it's so fascinating.
Believe it or not, is that media is part of orange man bad.
Totally, totally, totally.
You know what I mean?
Right. They ran further with COVID than they did Ebola. Let's put it that way.
I think the other thing is, too, I'd add another one, right, is these leaders who, especially in the healthcare world, no one ever really cared about, all of a sudden, they had all this. Look at this Fauci guy, right?
Right.
I mean, this guy loves having the camera in front of his
right.
face.
But
right,
but the media then shut down the doctors that didn't have the
correct.
Same script, right? So give me a percentage, a third, a third, a third.
Well,
bad virus, media propaganda, and orange man bad.
I think bad virus is 30%, you know, and I think media and orange bad man are probably 40-40.
Mm-hmm, the other big part.
Right? Something like that.
Right. It is a bad bug.
Right? I mean, 35, 35.
If you're older... Or if you're older and you're immunocompromised and or, you know, obesity and some 80% of the folks that are having problems with it are on the obese side.
Yep.
Worry about it. But do you lock down the whole economy?
So Antonori, when he got sick last summer with the Rona, when he was in for his heart stuff, the epidemiologist at TMC said this is an obesity problem, number one.
Mm.
Right. And he goes, but the CDC is only quietly
right.
telling doctors you should be talking to your patients about.
Yep. Vitamin D.
Right.
Obesity.
Right. And Frank's like, well, of course, Frank's going to go, well, shouldn't that be like these guys like Fauci and what? Shouldn't they be out there going, hey, maybe, you know, this? For some reason, they don't want to be loud on the obesity thing.
Right. And now with
Orange... Even though it could save lives.
With Orange Man gone, is it just the tail of power that wants to keep holding on to this thing?
They love it.
Yeah.
Think about it. They've had more power over your lives than ever. And because they keep blaming the Rona, they don't have to have meetings. Right. They don't have to. They're still doing Zoom meetings. They don't. The First Amendment right to petition your governments and the crapper.
Right.
You know, they love it. Mm. They love it. Let's get to the phone. 790-2040. Let's go to Christina on line two. Christina, you're on with Joe and Chris. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, boys. It's nice to hear Joe this morning.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it is.
You're welcome. So my question back to the whole Tucson water thing is, so I don't know, I don't understand all of the ball players in this. You were saying that Pima County provides the sewer.
Yes.
While Tucson provides the water.
Yep.
So how does Marana fit into that? What do they do for their water?
So the on some of the surrounding areas, they do have their own water utility. So like I'm an Oral Valley, so we have the Oral Valley Water Utility. So we don't have to play ball with Tucson Water.
And sewer?
Okay.
Sewers County.
Sewers County.
Okay, so my next question is, at what point does something like this push Vail into actually incorporating?
Yeah, good point.
Where they don't have to play ball with Tucson and or Pima County. Because I know that the incorporation failed in, what, 2014? But, you know, it's kind of like my husband was saying, evils are sufferable, right, to a point.
Right,
right.
And then when you're like, you guys, we're just done with you.
Right. And it's usually policing. It's policing, it's roads, it's water and sewer, right? Those and parks. Those are the big ones. Right. That's why Vail would say, you're not giving me enough service, and now I'm at that tipping point where I'm going to do my own thing.
So Vail, there's a couple of things here, right? So with anything with water or sewage, right, it's always about do you have the infrastructure to do such things?
It's expensive.
Right? That's going to be number one. Right. So you're gonna be, and I think you should incorporate. I think it'll be easier this time around because Steve Christie, I think, will be supportive of that, and where Ray Carroll was going around telling everyone,
this is the worst thing ever.
Right? So I think with Steve in that position instead of Sugar Ray, that's a good thing for you guys. I think the other part of this is that because they hit you with the fear factor, right? If you do and you're not going to have cops and blah, blah, blah. You guys need to do it. You guys are blowing up like crazy out there.
Christine, here's another one.
I totally agree.
We've documented on the show many, many times. Because the water and the sewer pipe determines where you build and grow and what happens and what can happen, the county and the city have tremendous power on a new shopping center, a new housing development, or what your future looks like in your region, because they can deny water or sewer. For whatever reason, they can figure out what it is. We've had many of those stories come up here.
Absolutely.
Then you don't control your destiny.
Look at Painted Hills, right?
Yeah.
No, I know that trying to build a business out in this area is very expensive, unless the county gives you their blessing.
Yep.
And I don't want their blessing. You know, I think that the people who live out here should be able to determine what they want to do.
Good point. You guys need to incorporate like yesterday.
I totally agree. And if we just barely moved out like 3 months before the election in 2014.
Right.
So yeah, if they bring that up again, I definitely want to be part of that inner workings and see what we can't do.
Awesome. Christina, thanks for the good call. Have a great day.
All right, boys. Thanks.
All right. Chris and Joe and you. John and Lawrence, we'll get to you. John wants to talk about COVID numbers in the county, which will bring me to my Pima County is going to redefine science for you. So those geniuses over there. So give us a call, 790-2040. Higgins and DeSimone, the boys are back in town. Do not play that song. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Oh, here we go. I feel like Johnny's coming up soon. Wake up.
Oh, God, I got a crap connection.
What a great cover by Johnny of a Nine Inch Nails tune. You know, it's one of those things where I remember when they first came out, I was like, oh, that's interesting, and then damn good.
That last album, that was the one before he died. Amazing. Amazing, the whole thing.
I think that was Rick Rubin, right, on that one?
I was going to do Rusty Cage, Soundgarden, Johnny Cash, but then I got a request, so.
That's all right.
We heed the listeners.
Oh, look at you.
And how about One, the U2 song One? So many people have done that. There's got to be, Hapa did it. That was really good. Found a good one there.
There was two, there was three.
Yeah, right.
Four.
I'm a nut with Pink Floyd. I absolutely love Pink Floyd, so their covers, Wish You Were Here, I haven't done a million ways.
Who's done a good Floyd cover? I'll find it.
Is there a good Floyd cover?
I got one. Nirvana, the guy from Pearl Jam. That was the most famous.
I got one. I got a Floyd cover before the show's over. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to John on line 77. John, you're on with Joe and Chris.
77, Sunset Strip.
Thank you very much. What's up, sir?
I just wanted to make a note that yesterday's numbers for Pima County on coronavirus is an anomaly. They reported a minus 42.
It's a miracle, John.
Look at Chuck.
You're going to be a saint.
He's healing people with his tears like a phoenix from Harry Potter.
Yeah, they took 9 out of June last year, 11 out of November, 35 out of December.
So you're saying they're removing numbers from past reports?
Yeah. I mean, past days in the last year.
Interesting.
Well, they have to revise.
Right.
Right.
Well, sometimes you can see it. They add one on one day and take one away from another day, but this is unusual with a minus 42. We had another day, in fact, here not too long ago. Let me find it.
You know, we all have stories of folks that have had it firsthand, and it's not good. Some are fine, and they get a bad flu, or they don't even know they have it, and others are just wiped out. Friends of mine that are healthier are really, really impacted by this. So it's real.
Yeah. In April 16th, they went down 31.
Hmm. Well, revision. Yep.
Well, John, thanks for bringing that to my attention. You're going to get me on my next story, which is this them redefining science. So thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Have a good day. So Eric Fink over at KVOA bit on this story, which is sad because he wanted, Eric, next time, I know it's tough being a TV reporter, getting your hair right and still wearing your mask like a dum-dum outside. I love when they do that. Fink was outside.
And running their own camera. And
it's so unbelievable. I saw Fink, I think it was Fink, right? And he was outside on a report and he's still wearing his mask. Stop. Your virtue signaling is disgusting. But anyway, so it talks about the Green Valley zip code of 85622, right? So he interviewed someone from the Green Valley Council down there, and basically is this
which is a high, for those who don't know, it's high retirement. In fact, you have to be over 55 to live there, I think.
Right.
And it's a lot of elderly, seasoned citizens.
Right, we're getting there. We could actually move
right
to Green Valley.
We're tickling it, right.
So it says, this is the headline. Zip code in Green Valley reaches herd immunity is the actual, right? And I said, oh, okay, that's cute, whatever. What does that mean, right? So I go through this thing, and it says, it comprises of, he put, that's okay. It's English is tough.
okay,
both parts of Green...
Thanks, Grammarly.
Don't say grammar Nazi.
I was gonna.
So it says has more than 81% of its residents fully vaccinated. So now Pima County says if you're 81% quote vaccinated as a population, you've now reached herd immunity. Do you know what that is? That's horse crap.
Why, Chris?
Because herd immunity means that you could have vaccinations, but they're, of course, never want to mention natural immunity that you either had in the first place, or if you got sick and you developed the antibodies, that doesn't count in Pima County science. So now there's real science, and then there's Pima County, it's Chuck science.
I've got a little backstory for you.
Tell me, Joe
Higgins. A friend of mine is in a study. Post-COVID study.
Right.
So if you've had COVID, what does the antibodies look like post-COVID? How long does it stay in your system? How long are you immune because you have a naturally occurring antibodies because you've gotten the virus?
Right.
And she is in a year and 2 months, and they get a finger prick and they get the test every couple weeks or month, still rocking the antibodies.
Right.
So now you have at least a year residual effect. She's hoping it's forever.
Right,
she's
sure.
I said, well, if it's been a year in, I've still got it. So what is that number? Because we've had all these people positives that have had it. We got those numbers.
So those numbers were there.
The two.
They shoved the media and the county and all these health people, and Fauci shoved all those cases down your throat.
Sure.
Right? Now they don't mean anything
right.
on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Add them in.
So when Pima County says that herd immunity is only hit when you get to 80% vaccinated, bull blank.
Mm.
That is idiotic. That is denying science. And Eric Fink, I know you're 12 years old and you have great hair, but shame on you for regurgitating their crap. Mm. And you didn't even ask anyone. Go get a real doctor. Don't give me Dr. Cullen at the county. Go find a real doctor who's dealt with COVID people and ask them what herd immunity means. He or she will not tell you, oh yeah, bro. And don't get Dr. Hines either. Jesus. Okay. you know, please, let's get Lawrence on the phone real quick. 2 minutes. He wants to talk about Orange Man and Zooming in Classroom. What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. You know, as we found out yesterday, when the students turn the cameras on, you start glitching. So I had a number of people who told me during all the presentations that the camera comes on, they're seeing, you know, they just don't have enough power. So that's one of the things nobody really keeps reconsidering about what's happening when you're Zooming.
And Lawrence, imagine the rural areas who have spotty internet. Imagine that process.
Oh, exactly. It just makes it that much harder.
Yep.
And then as far as the Orange Man, my retirement account, love the Orange Man. The Orange Man made my retirement account grow. Now under Absent-Minded Man, it's shrinking.
What are you doing? What are you going to do, Charles? What are you going to do, Lawrence?
Hit my head in the wall.
Are you going to take it out and put it in cash? Are you going to look for some new investments?
I'm going to talk to my advisor, see what he recommends.
I feel like talking to Joe and Chris about a rollover at Blue Chip Planning would be right in here.
Just killing me. But then inflation. So you're making much money. Then inflation hits, so it reduces your money. And then what are we going to get taxed at? That's the thing that we talk about at school. One of my other teachers, she teaches some economics. I'm thinking, what do we think about the taxes? I said, all these knuckleheads running around here because they hated the Orange Man didn't realize now you're affecting our retirement.
Capital gains, brother. So capital gains is right now 20%. Proposals to go to 43%, only for the millionaires. Yeah. But how far down does that go eventually?
Oh, you and I know. And everything is a bell curve. Regardless, when I got into Cajun, everybody's saying bell curve is racist, but everything's a bell curve. There's only so many at the high end. But right in the middle, there's a whole bunch of big cat, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I explained that to my kids, my students. I said, every school I've worked at, I've worked in several different districts, several different demographics, the bell curve's still the same. It's either thin, it's wider, thinner, but I said, it's just a natural distribution, guys. I don't know why people get all bent out of shape.
Mm. All right, Lawrence. Yeah. Well, Lawrence, thanks for exposing me to that experience yesterday. You gave me a real flavor of how tough your job is.
Thanks. Hey, no problem, buddy. Guys, anytime. Joe, it's great to hear you again.
You too, sir.
All right, we got one more hour to go, and hopefully we'll have Anastasia, my Vail school parent, on with me and Joe. And then if we have time, Lugo wants to call in and talk about the gas line thing. About what's going on. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.